When I think of the ascension of the Lord, it comes to mind some pictures that I have seen, you know, paintings or holy cards, how artists or painters throughout history have depicted the ascension. Most of them will show Jesus going up to heaven, of course, is the ascension. A cloud, and down, the apostles, all looking at heaven, at Jesus, as Jesus went up. Now, their faces of amazement, but looking up to heaven. And we get that image from, especially from the Acts of the Apostles, of today's first reading, the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. That's what it says, that Jesus went up to heaven, gave the last instructions, and then a cloud came, they could see him no more. Two angels came and told to the apostles, were looking up, said to heaven, said, "Why are you looking up to heaven? The Lord Jesus that you saw went up, he will come back one day, he will come back again." So, what most of those paintings cannot show is what happened after. And I believe that's all we are celebrating, the ascension. It's not, you know, we start telling what it is not. It shouldn't be that way, but just to have, because sometimes we do have that idea in mind. It's not a farewell party. When Jesus, the risen Lord, told them, "Well, see you, meet me at this time, in that place, that mountain, we'll be gathered there, and we have our small party, and then I have to go." I was telling the previous Mass, which is something common in some of the Latin cultures. Latin culture is so vast, you know, different, it changes from country to country, even though sometimes it has the same language. And even sometimes, the culture of, you know, my country, Brazil, there couldn't be an invitation for a farewell party. Otherwise, there wouldn't be only the apostles there. You never go alone in a party, you always bring somebody with you. So there could probably be 200 people there, you know, just say, that were all those invited? Well, they were invited eventually by someone who was invited to that party. So in a sense, yes, they were invited. They were not crashing in the other people's party. So we have to look beyond. And what we find in God, the Gospel, which is the conclusion of Luke's Gospel, and the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, and those two books, they are tied together. They have the same author, St. Luke, who wrote the Gospel. He wrote also the Acts of the Apostles. You know, and the whole Gospel, it's like a movement. You know, the Gospel, he wrote two books, the Gospel talking about Jesus, of course, life, message, miracles, and then the Acts of the Apostles, the beginning of the church, the missionary activity. The apostles first, and then Paul, Barnabas, all the others who came, Timothy and Silas, they came, and they were also the first community, Christian communities. But the whole Gospel is a movement of Jesus coming to Jerusalem, where he died, and he was risen. And then the Acts of the Apostles begin from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. To the whole world that they knew at the time, to every nation that should listen to Jesus' words, to Jesus' message of salvation. So that's why we finish the Gospel with the Ascension, we begin the Acts of the Apostles with the Ascension. And the Ascension could give a meaning of emptiness. The Lord is no longer with us. But that's if we had an idea of a farewell. Since we do not have an idea of a farewell, it's not about Jesus' absence. His, is going away from us. Of course not. He never left us alone. But it is a new moment, a new time, when the physical presence of Jesus would not be seen anymore. Not the apostles and anyone, but his presence then from then on would be felt everywhere. As we can say that we feel, we know that his presence is here with us. We can celebrate that. We can praise the Lord for that, because he is up in heaven with God. And then, of course, he promised the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, which we'll be celebrating next Sunday. On Sunday, we'll be celebrating Pentecost as well, the Holy Spirit. So first, the ascension of the Lord will give us, make sure that we in our lives will always have the presence of the Lord with us. Second important, so the apostles would not feel orphans, and we will not feel alone, because Jesus had accomplished his mission. A second point which we can find in the Gospel, in the Acts of the Apostles, is a very central word, witnessing. The angel said, you know, you are a witness to all these things. And Jesus told his disciples, you will be my witnesses to the world. That's very important. A witness can give testimony of something. A witness can guarantee something. And we might say, well, I wasn't there, I didn't see that. But Jesus is not only talking about the moment of the ascension. He's talking about his message, his word of salvation, his very presence in our midst. There was the moment now that the apostles, they should go forth. So this is not so much the ascension about a goodbye. It is more a moment of commissioning. The apostles were commissioned to go forth to preach in Jesus' name. And they did a very good job, to the point that we today continue to listen to those words, knowing that the word witness in Greek is the root for the word martyr. So it's like Jesus say, you go be a witness, you go be martyrs. And a martyr in our church, we call all those who did not abandon their faith. And for being faithful, they even gave their life for their faith. They are martyrs of our faith. So, even us today, the same commissioning we receive, the same words of Jesus we receive. The first is the assurance that we are not alone, that we are not abandoned. Abandoned is a strong word, but that we're not forgotten by God who is in heaven somewhere. No, we never were forgotten. He will always is and will always be with us. And the second thing, we are called also to be the witness. Now, what is it to be a witness today? It's not that somebody's going to call you for a trial. No. Juror duty. Sometimes it happens. Just got this week, my first time ever, jury duty. You know, I have to answer online something. I don't know what's going to happen. Probably they're not going to think. They know I'm a priest. So say, oh, you're biased. You cannot be a fair judge, you know, in a fair juror in a trial, whatever trial it is. But anyway, that's not what witnessing for us will mean. It is though, witnessing will be told not only the words we say. I have found people that they really wanted to give witness to their faith. And then they came to me and said, Father, I don't know what is going on, because I want to talk about Jesus. And I talked about Jesus to anyone I find, my family, you know, with my friends, my co-workers, anyone, you know, if I am, you know, stand in line and somebody stands next to me, I start talking about Jesus, and I don't know what happened. Everybody is not inviting me for any party, anybody, you know, my friends don't talk to me anymore, and my family doesn't want to see me around. What is going on? Is that, you know, I'm suffering the martyrs? No, you're not a martyr, I said. I'm sorry to tell you that. Maybe it's the way. The best witness does not come from our mouths. We can talk and talk, but our actions will speak louder. That's the witness I believe God is foremost. Sometimes, yes, we do have to defend, if you want to use that word, our faith. It's not that we have to, you know, just keep quiet. That's not the point. But I don't need to be preaching at people at every moment of my life. It might, people might just sometimes, they just, you know, switch channel. Or just, you know, turn off and you'll be blah, 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 and okay, nobody's listening. However, good action, actions that are inspired by the values we have in our lives. So I think it's when we talk about witness, we can question ourselves, what are the values that guide my life, the choices of my life? What are the values that I try to bring to the children in a family? What are the values I share with my friends? Now this can speak louder. And some people might even sometimes ask, why did you act that way? I said, well, because I believe, you know, that behavior goes with my beliefs, in my faith. My faith inspires me in my actions. This is be witness of Jesus today in our world. And quite often, Pope Francis here and then talks about this, you know, saying that we are the ones, you know, the ones that we can transform the world. That the world will be a loving place, a merciful place, if we ourselves begin to show that, not only talking about that. And we find so many examples. Today is Mother's Day, though it's not a liturgical celebration, but how many mothers there are, they can be examples of self-giving, you know, the love that you don't have many words. That how can you describe, or you need many words to describe. But a few actions will tell us all about it. Maybe they can be examples for each one of us, even to live, how to live our Christian lives today. So as we celebrate also this week, preparing for Pentecost, may we ask that the Lord will continue to send us the Holy Spirit that we received in baptism, that we are confirmed. Last Monday, we had a beautiful celebration here with Bishop Noonan when 140 were confirmed. A beautiful moment. And I said, it's not the arriving point. It's like the ascension is the moment that they go, they are commissioned to go to the world. And the last song that we usually sing in confirmation, go make a difference. A difference for better if it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we also, you know, as we await, we pray this week, the Novena, asking that the Lord who sent us the Holy Spirit, He has not left us orphans. He is with us, so that we'll have the strength and the wisdom to be His witnesses to the ends of the world. Yes, but beginning where we live with the people who are closest to us. There is the place where we need to be His witnesses today.